This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi guys, I'm Ian, 370 something days alcohol free as of today. Love OTI, find the Zoom calls really useful. It's really important, I think, to surround yourself with people who get it. And I think that just realising that, you know, you're normal and what you're doing is great is so important. Personally, I don't necessarily miss drinking, but I do sort of worry too much about what other people think. And I think therefore just to be able to sort of sound off with other people about how you feel about that and get a common sense response is just vital. So keep up the good work. I'll be staying close to everything that you do, and I'll speak to you all soon. Take care.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to Over the Influence. We are the world's biggest alcohol-free podcast. It's actually official, according to Apple. I think that's right. I'm sure Ben and Freddie will back me up in just a moment before I dig myself a mahoosive hole. There are literally squillions of you downloading it. So thank you. If you are listening to Over the Influence for the first time, where have you been? There's so much to go at. Series 1. Series 2, and then we started Series 3, and we've never stopped. We are now weekly. It is wonderful. We sing about sobriety. If you're wondering who the hell we are, my name is Sharon Hartley. I am based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. Nobody calls me Sharon. Everybody calls me Shaz or Shazar. I set out to take a little break from alcohol for 90 days, and that was back in 2018, which is most ridiculous. So I am now 3 years and a couple of months alcohol free. Absolutely loving it. I just can't sing about it enough, to be honest. It was a pregnant pause there. I was going to start giving you a whole list of why sobriety is amazing. Just listen back to it all. I don't do this on my own. It gives me great pleasure to introduce my glamorous co-host, Coach Bennett, in the future, Freddie Bennett. Good morning, love.
Good morning, love. I am so excited to be here. Hello, everybody. If it is your first time, well, as I can tell you, you will never forget your first time and you are in for a treat. My name is Freddie. As Shazza says, I am Coach Bennett. No, I've not become a life coach. I have become a coach of an under nines basketball team, though. Considering I don't know anything about basketball, that is quite a feat. But it just goes to show that all this amazing stuff happens when you stop drinking. So I am very excited to be here. I used to be stressed, depressed, hungover all day long, but almost 1,000 days ago, I decided to stop drinking, and then all the sober magic happened, including being coach of the under nines basketball team. I won't bore you with that because we've got an amazing guest today. But yeah, just to say, I'm so excited to be here. We are the world's number one alcohol-free podcast, and it is going to be an amazing show today.
I'm feeling very proud of you. I mean, there's a whole list, isn't there, of sober wins, Freddie, when we go alcohol-free. But you becoming coach of this basketball team is something else, because you can't even play basketball. So
I don't even know how to do a basket goal when you're playing on a basket pitch. A basket goal. I don't know. I do know in the first game, I did almost get sent off for shouting at the referee, who was 12 years old. So just goes to show that sobriety doesn't make us perfect. But I did apologise to him afterwards, and we did win. And it is all about having fun and enjoying ourselves and destroying the competition, as I do tell the nine-year-olds.
Absolutely. Really, really well done. Freddie, thank you so much. We have I was going to call him a third wheel then, but I don't think that's necessarily a great title. Background Ben used to be in the background when we first started doing this podcast at the start of lockdown, more than 18 months ago now. Ben was simply a brilliant podcast producer. Drop him an email if you would like a podcast making, because he is absolutely fantastic. hello@samrebel.co.uk, I do believe is the email address. Ben stopped drinking because he spent that much time listening to myself and Freddie wanging on about the joys of sobriety. And get this, you are about to, well, when this episode's released, Ben, mm-hmm. you'll be hitting a superb milestone.
Yeah, it would be my 500 days week when this episode comes out, which I can't believe. That's just flown. It's flown round.
That's crazy.
Like, but yeah, I'm Ben. I'm 33. I live in Liverpool. I didn't think I had a big problem with drinking. I wanted to have a break for 90 days, 3 months after Freddie and Shaz said that's a good number to aim for initially. And actually, when I stopped, I realised that my drinking wasn't as normal as maybe I thought it was when I was doing it. I was drinking because I was stressed not to have a good time. And so I knocked it on the head originally, yeah, for 3 months, then went for six, then went for 12, and now going to continue going forever, I think. Like, I look at my life objectively, and the person I am now compared to the person that I was when I was drinking, I really like me at the moment. So I'd be a bit of an idiot to go back to drinking. But anyway, I've got some bad news, guys. I'm sorry.
What?
You know that
what?
I'm a stickler for these things, and I like to make sure we're always giving correct information to our audience. We are, as of this point, as we record right now, we are not the number one alcohol-free podcast in the world.
Oh, no.
Look, the Apple charts are a dynamic chart, okay? So what that means is that it's constantly moving. So when you look at the Apple charts, you see who is right now the biggest podcast in the world. We're being beaten by Annie Grace, guys. Annie Grace, This Naked Mind podcast, is currently higher than Over the Influence in the Apple charts. Yes.
God, Annie who?
Annie Grace, the author, the world-renowned author, Annie Grace.
I've read a book, it's brilliant. But
it's amazing. Yes, she's really great. We love her.
It's a game changer. It really is.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, she's fab. We're also being beaten by Janie Lee Grace.
Oh, God!
I see a pattern
theme here.
Yeah, welcome to Over the Influence, Grace, with me, Ben Anderson Grace. Her, Sharon Hartley Grace, and Freddie Bennett Grace. But no, we love, you know, we don't see ourselves in competition with these guys. We want you to listen to everything that's out there. The sober podcast community is incredible, and there's so much good information out there. Obviously, I want to log on next week and see that Over the Influence is back in its rightful place at number one. If you could tell your friends, that'd be fabulous. Share this episode with your mates. You can share it via WhatsApp. You can share it via Twitter, Facebook, whatever. Just click the little share button within whatever podcast app you're listening on and share away. But yeah, look, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news. We need our guest to pick our mood back up. Freddie looks particularly downbeat.
I'm being very absent in my silence here. I've just received a contractually binding email from Ben. So I have to say... I am obviously ecstatic that these other podcasts are number one. I support everyone in the alcohol-free podcasting world, and I am overjoyed that these people are there. You should obviously definitely listen to their podcasts and not tell everybody to listen to Over the Influence, because it is rightfully number one.
But let's cheer you up, Freddie.
Excited.
One of your heroes. We're number 93. Sorry, Jenny. We're not just going to make this all about us. Our wonderful guest, Jenny. We'll get to you in a minute. We're currently 93 in the health and fitness charts on Apple. Freddie, one of your heroes, David Goggins, is at 98.
Brilliant. Oh, really?
So doing better than Goggins. That's good. Yeah. Better than Goggins. Does cheer me up.
See, look at his face. Look at his face now.
I am happy now. Let's talk about staying hard, Goggins. Well, Goggins is a bit floppy. Well, we're just shooting upwards higher and higher. Let's crack on, shall we?
Let's move on. Fantastic news. This podcast is flipping brilliant because of our wonderful, wonderful guests. My God, we just speak to so many amazing people. I'm particularly excited today, and I know Ben is as well and Freddie as well, because it gives us great pleasure to introduce a community member, an Over the Influence community member. Woohoo, indeed. Who has been waiting patiently on this call while we bang on about ourselves. We're going to stop now.
Jay Wicks at number 148. Sorry, we're going to stop now. We're going to stop.
Did you write that down, Freddie? Did you write that down?
I did,
Jay Wicks, thank you. As I was saying, it gives me great pleasure to introduce Over the Influence community member and very, very sober person. And actually on this call tonight, my God, You look so glam. It's Jenny Downs. Jenny, how the hell are you? Welcome to this crazy podcast.
Thank you very much. Really great to be here. This is my first podcast recording, so I am indeed a podcast virgin, and I'm just shocked at how professional you all are.
You right. Got the email. Good. Nice one. Thank you.
I love this. We quite often pop the podcast cherries of sober people. Have I said that correctly? Did that make sense? Freddie's cringing. It's all come out wrong, hasn't it?
There's nothing wrong with that shadow at all. You carry on.
We'll leave it. We'll move on. Jenny, thank you so much. As you probably gathered, we can talk a lot. We could talk all night. We're going to stop now. I would love you to introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, how alcohol-free you are, and then we'll go right back to the beginning to where this all started.
Yep. My name's Jenny Downs. I'm 52 and I live in Essex. I have been alcohol-free now for 2 years. I had my two-year anniversary. I shared with Ben on his morning Zoom, and that was on October the 19th. So my background is probably much like loads and loads of other people that are within this community. I grew up one of four children. My parents were big drinkers. It was prevalent in the household. It was normalised, I suppose, in the household. So by the time I was 16, you could go to pubs, and I think I was 14 when I first went to a pub. And it was a big part of my life. I socialised at work, in pubs, I went to clubs, and I was always out drinking. And that sort of continued through my 20s. It wasn't until I hit my 30s, started having children, four children, that I actually took, obviously, forced breaks whilst I was having my babies. And then at the once the children started growing up, I had just had a shiny new friendship group of new parents who were more than happy to just drink a lot and often. So, I was happy to embrace that sort of lifestyle, and it was the norm for me. So as my children were growing up, when they were very young, I was socialising with these other people, and we didn't have to go out. We could just drink around each other's houses. And this is what I've sort of just become this adult drinker. And I wasn't very proud of myself, to be honest. I was still holding down a job. I've done lots of charity work, raised quite extraordinary amounts of money for different charities, and really thought I was on fire when I was doing all this stuff. But it wasn't until in my late 40s that I really just started to worry about the escalation of my drinking. It was the moments when I realised that I was drinking red wine out of a mug to try and hide that I was actually drinking it, that I just thought that this really isn't right, and it's not me, and it's not who I want to be. It wasn't instant. It took me a long, long time to realise that I wanted to stop. Probably all the way through my 40s, thinking, not quite sure if I want to. I had this saying always in my mind, which was, I don't want to be defined by wine. And I felt as though I was defined by wine. That was my drink of choice, and I could drink copious amounts of it. I started getting quite worried that I could fall asleep quite easily after drinking, quite a lot of it. And that's just not a good look. I think the last time I did it, I was at a friend's wedding vow renewal, and I ran the bar. It was just great. I thought I was being really helpful. I'd helped to set it all up. I was serving all the drinks to the guests and obviously serving myself at the same time. And when I actually took a break and sat down and spoke to some people that I hadn't actually seen for quite some time, I had a snooze, and that is just outrageous. And that's the one thing that my children took away from that party, was the fact that I fell asleep at a table, and it just couldn't continue. So, yes, I started thinking about giving up, and that whole feeling just, it just became more important to me. And I thought about it a lot, and the times where I'd had too much to drink and something had happened, I thought, it's time to stop. So I did keep stopping and starting all the way through my 40s. And towards the end of my 40s, I decided that the time was right.
Sorry to jump in. Can I just ask you that? Jenny, am I right in thinking you mentioned that we talked about this, you celebrated your 2 years on one of our Zoom calls. If you're not a member of the community, we do Zoom calls with members all for the week. Just basically have a cup of tea, all catch up, see how everyone's getting on. Was it your birthday that day as well?
No, it was my daughter's birthday.
Right. So your 2 years is, so the last time you had a drink would have been on your daughter's birthday 2 years previous. And like what happened there? Was there an event, or was it just like you say, a kind of accumulation of like, oh, this has got to end?
I think it was my 50th birthday that I just didn't want to be a drinker in my 50s. I'd got to the point where my children were growing up, and I just thought it's the wrong way to behave as an adult. I talk quite a lot about normalising alcohol, and it shouldn't be normalised around our children. You know, it just shouldn't be something that they see continually and think that it's all right. It isn't all right. And I wanted to change. I wanted to be a better parent. I wanted to be present, and I just wanted to turn into a taxi driver. And I've managed to do all of those things.
I relate to so much all of what you're saying. And for the record, if you listen to this now, we can see Jenny, obviously, on this Zoom call. You said you were 52. I don't know what you look like when you were drinking, but swear to God, you look about 32. You look amazing. Talk about that alcohol-free glow, the AF glow up. It's worth every penny for that alone, isn't it, Jenny? You look superb. But one thing I get angry, I suppose, and I don't ever want to be judgmental because I don't care if people want to drink. I genuinely don't care. If you want to drink, crack on, that's fine. But what I do feel quite passionate about these days is something that you've already touched on, is you had a group of friends, didn't you, that, you know, all the mums together and this mummy needs wine culture, and Prosecco made me do it, and the kids have driven me to it, and all that. I look back now at my 30s and into my early 40s, it's just saturated. It's at every single turn. And I feel quite strongly about it now. You know, that you can probably even buy a bloody baby's bib with a wine reference on it somewhere down the line. Do you know what I mean? And I don't know what I'm trying to say. I think is the more that we shout about this, and the more we sort of put our hands up and go, actually, no, you don't need play dates with wine. Mummy doesn't need wine o'clock. And it's just sold and sold and sold. Do you feel like relieved now you're out of that? Do you look on and still see it happening?
It's happening all the time. I think there's just immense pressures to drink. You know, you turn on the television and you watch all the, well, I don't tend to watch too much telly, but when I do, you know, it's always picturing people relaxing with alcohol, you know, big glass of red wine in your hand. And this is what normalizes it, that you can't relax without having a drink. And you can. This all needs to change. You know, we need to change the way things are sponsored. We need to change the way that alcohol is portrayed. You know, alcohol is quite a serious drug, and it's killing people. And, you know, when you look at what's happened through COVID, where, you know, people have been locked down and the drinking has just escalated, I'm so thankful that I gave up before the pandemic, because I would have been there. I managed to walk to Sainsbury's and I looked around at the empty shelves of alcohol, and I was laughing, but I was more than that. I was just relieved that it wasn't me thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to drive around to see what I can find, because that would have been me. It would have been me being bored. It would have been me drinking at home. And I'm just so grateful that I'm free of that.
Jenny, if I may come in here, and this might be a surprise to you and the listeners, but I am not a woman in my 50s. But I know it's a bombshell, but it's true. And I wanted to try and understand the journey, especially, as you say, in your 40s, when you were trying to give up for those years. What do you think the main challenges were that you faced when you woke up that morning and you said, right, I'm going to knock this on the head for a while now, but then something came up that caused you to drink again? Was it your friends, as Shazza said, or was it, you know, a particular time or a particular situation? And what were the kind of the pitfalls for you?
I think for me, alcohol was a huge part of my social life. And also my husband drinks, and he still drinks. And it was also our time together. So, you know, we would sit down and we would relax together and we would drink and we would put the world to right and sit up till 2 o'clock in the morning. But it would be with alcohol. All of our socialising was about alcohol. And I probably was one of the worst people that if I was with somebody that wasn't drinking, I'd be thinking, really? Like, why have you bothered coming out? But, you know, I think because of that, I had to then reassess my relationship with my friends. And I did something very brutal towards the end. And I just basically stopped seeing those people because our relationship was based around alcohol. I removed alcohol from my life and we didn't really have much relationship at the end of it. So it was for me, it was very, very harsh. I knew that I had to reevaluate my friendships. I knew I had to get my husband on board. I knew I had to do it for myself. I knew I had to do it for my children. And I had gone through so many resets and tried so many times to give up that I knew I had to, in my own mind, set a date and I had to follow it through. And I also knew that I had to have some support, that there was no way that I could do it without talking to people. And that was a really, really important thing for me. Somebody contacted me, somebody that's now a friend, Cassie from Alcohol Free Essex. And she said to me, oh, we've got this group and you're from Essex. Why don't you join us? And it was in the early days of Alcohol Free Essex and it was great. You weren't around, so I had to go and find someone else. And this group is fantastic. We connect a lot. We do some crazy things, and I've made lots of friends there. So I look back, and it was a bit frightening in the beginning. You know, I didn't see these people. COVID probably helped because we didn't see anybody, did we? So yeah, it was a big friend clear out, but I've replaced them with some shiny new alcohol-free ones.
It's mad how it changes, and I talk about this a lot, and I can relate to so much about what you're saying. When I was drinking, Jenny, if anybody would dare not to drink when they were on a night, you know, why come out? Why would you be there? And I would berate them and take the piss and try and encourage people to drink, you know, just to obviously justify my own drinking. And it all changes. Your friendship groups change, and the people that I used to take the piss out of directly are now some of the best friends in the entire world, these sober people. But it is scary at first, and it is scary watching your social circle change and making new connections. But as you've said there, you joined one group, you've joined another group, you've joined this group. Every single person in these groups, in the main, is alcohol-free. And for me, there has been nothing better than meeting a whole host of bonkers former drinkers that come together and share the ridiculousness of where we used to be, you know, with the ridiculousness of what we are doing now. But it's also real, isn't it? And it just shows you that remove alcohol and everything changes.
I've spoken about this with you before, this feeling, and it is a real, real feeling. So when you do something, you know, I look forward to something and I've got excitement, and it's not blighted by alcohol. So, you know, something like this, if I was doing something like this 5 years ago, I would have probably have had two glasses of wine just to calm my nerves, you know, get my confidence up. I don't actually need it. I don't need it. And all alcohol does is mask your inner self. And it's much better that, you know, be yourself, because those wonderful feelings of excitement and nervousness and joy, it's much better when you're alcohol free.
We're Sound Rebel, and we just wanted to let you know a bit more about us.
Sound Rebel produced this podcast, and we work with all sorts of personalities to help them engage with their current audiences.
We work with actors, football commentators, comedians, personal trainers, radio presenters, hello, influencers, and even world record holders.
So, if you've got an audience but don't have a podcast, get in touch with us.
Oh, and tell us you heard this ad, and we'll produce your first episode for free.
Email hello@soundrebel.co.uk now and take your place in the fastest growing broadcast medium in the world.
Right, back to the episode.
Jenny, you mentioned alcohol-free Essex, and you know, today Essex is quite renowned for its party lifestyle. I mean, it's not called the Only Way Is Torquay, is it? Let's face it. Was it the same in the late 80s, early 90s when you would have been going out, starting to go out? You said you were 16 when you started going to pubs?
I was 14 when I first went to a pub.
14, yeah.
I cowered in the corner by the coat rack, and that became my local in Brentwood. So that was the castle. No longer there, unfortunately. They knocked it down. But I was in the coats for several years. Until the landlord, I must have been about 16, and the landlord was changing, so he was leaving, and there was a new one coming in, and he came up to me and he said, I just need to ask you. He said, I'm not going to chuck you out, but please just tell me how old you are. I'm 16. I knew it. I absolutely knew it. But I was in that pub really young, but you didn't need ID, you didn't need anything. So things have changed for the better. I mean, I've got a 21-year-old and an 18-year-old, and they're asked for their ID all the time. So, you know, in that sense, that is better. But obviously it didn't really help me growing up because, yeah, I was in pubs, clubs, and it wasn't quite as leery. It was obviously the pubs closed in those old days. The pubs closed at, was it 11 o'clock?
It's amazing, isn't it? I was thinking back to my old drinking days. It was a bit further on for me, but I'd be cowering by the coat stand in my baggy white jeans and my see-through mesh t-shirt and just try not to get thrown out.
Oh God!
What's funny about that? I was going through a Backstreet Boys phase and that was, you know, and my spiky gelled hair and everything else, and I just think the amount of effort and energy and nervousness that used to go into trying to get served underage and like, you know, who's got the fake ID? We were always like, who's the oldest? What's the order to go in? So, you know, we'll put the oldest people in the front and the back. And it's a bit like the in-betweeners, really, me and my mates. Like, we weren't even cool or anything at all. But it was this whole lifestyle evolved around how could I get some drink into me? And now we're all on this sober journey, as we like to say. I wish that all of us and everyone listening could maybe take that same attitude in terms of the effort and the ingenuity and, yeah, right, we've been barred from, or not barred, we weren't that leery, we've been not let into one pub, we're going to try another way. Why can't we do that with sobriety? Why can't we say, right, one thing didn't work, we're going to try something else, we're going to try a different order, we're going to try a different approach? And I think that's something that we could all do. And I was coming to a question somewhere, Jenny, and the question was, what do you feel made the difference for you when you say, when you've had all those times when you were flirting with sobriety, as it was, and then when it really started to work on your child's birthday, what do you think was that special missing or magic ingredient, or do you just think it was something, you know, within your mindset?
I think a lot of it was a milestone birthday for me, and just thinking about how I wanted to spend the rest of my life. Bearing in mind, my parents were big drinkers. My dad died of esophageal cancer 18 years ago, and there's strong links between cancer and alcohol, full stop. My mother's got dementia, again, strong links between alcohol and dementia. And, you know, I look at my children and I just think, I want to be there for you. And the more I was playing that over and over in my mind, the more I was, you know, eking over towards being a sober person. But it did take some time. I mean, you know, within these groups, everybody generally is resetting and, you know, trying again and finding it hard and, you know, and just, it's not easy. It really isn't easy. Yeah, you know, I had decades of drinking, and to unravel that and choose a different way of life, it's not something that you can achieve really quickly. And if you can, hats off to people that just say, right, that's it, not doing it anymore. But I wasn't one of those people. It took me through my 40s of resetting, retrying, thinking about it, you know, then going for 2 years and carrying on drinking. But when I hit 50, I think it was that milestone birthday. And I think it was just assessing how I wanted to be in front of my children. That was a really big thing. And I wanted to be a better role model. And I'm now a fantastic role model.
You absolutely are. And I think, you know, you are. And my kids are a bit younger than yours, but I think it's amazing to see. And I know it's a cliche, but I think kids do take a lot in. And I hope that my kids don't remember those Sunday mornings when they were literally sat on me when I was lying on the sofa and I'm just saying, oh, watch a movie or something. But I think, and I know, you know, we said it on the premium podcast to Shazza earlier, it's your kids will be so proud of you when they hit those milestone birthdays. And we tell ourselves these stories about, you know, my kids will think I'm the life and soul of the party and everything else. But really, what kids really want is to be able to look up to their parents and say, that mum or that dad or that step parent or whoever, they were there for me when I needed them. And I think to be there and present and sober is such a gift that they'll probably never bloody thank us for. But at the same time, it's an amazing gift that we can give them. So I think it's absolutely amazing what you're doing, Jenny.
Yeah, they are. I want to be able to remember everything. And that was another really important reason to give up for me. I've been to weddings, I've been to christenings, I've got absolutely plastered at lots of them. I remember some, I don't remember others. I will remember everything from now. And I just think that we're not on the planet for very long. And you need to just embrace every single moment and retain every single memory.
Shazza, Freddie's kids won't remember him lying on the sofa on a Sunday morning, but now he's got this new role as the basketball coach at his school. Do you get the feeling that the kids are going to remember being taken off in the first quarter because they weren't performing highly enough and being subbed off by their own father?
I know nothing about basketball apart from to win. But the point is, I think in this Instagram generation that we live in, it's all around, and I'm guilty of this as well, you know, the marathons and the I've done this and I'm sober and I've climbed the mountain and I've done all these really impressive big things to shout about. And those things are all cool. But the real things, I think, for all of us in our lives, especially with, you know, those of us with family and, you know, partners and kids or and whatnot, it's those little moments that don't have to be the big outwardly facing times, but those small, I'm going to remember that for the rest of my life, when we won that bloody basketball game with 2 seconds to spare on the clock. Like, it's not going on Instagram, it's not going on anything else. That's just one moment that I know will never have happened in my life if I was still tongue banging a vodka bottle at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I think it's so precious. And you're absolutely right, Jenny, that it's about just being present for the kids, and they are going to appreciate that. And even though my child Ollie shouts at me a lot for being the head coach of the basketball team, I'd like to think deep down he doesn't hate the fact that his dad is no longer on a sofa and is trying to learn basketball very quickly.
My kids are really grateful that I can drive them anywhere at any time. I think they've long now forgotten that I don't drink. But they are always remembering that I can drive.
You know, Jenny, it's really funny. I spent the best part of God knows how many years willing for the day for my eldest two to pass their driving test. So you'll get me. You know where I'm coming from. It's like, oh, my God, the day he passes, that is it. I've got taxis for life. And wait till the daughter passes. 2 taxis. You can both drive me from pub to pub and pick me up from my friends. Guess how many times they have had to do that? 0, because I went alcohol free and it's never, ever happened. But again, it just signifies, it just shows you how soaked this whole world is in alcohol. You know, I wanted my kids to pass their test, not for their freedom and to go meet their friends and they can go out for meals and travel the country and do all these things. No, to pick up the pissed mum, you know, wherever I might be. Thank God they have never had to do that. And I just want to really quickly add, Jenny, I just want to share this with you. As a mum to mum, and you are also a mum of a daughter as well. It's the small things you were saying, Ben and Freddie. Sunday just gone, my daughter, who absolutely hated me drinking, turned round and treated me to a spa day on Sunday, just the two of us. And she doesn't need to say to me, oh, well done for not drinking. Oh, aren't you freaking brilliant for being sober for 3 years? She just went, got a voucher. You fancy it? And I'm like, yes. Yes. Ella, should I wear a bikini? She's like, hell no. And it was wonderful. And I don't think she's got any idea quite how much, you know, it meant to me. To her, a small thing, to me, you know, and you'll get it as a parent as well. Absolutely huge. And not a drop of alcohol involved. It was wonderful.
And those moments are just great, aren't they?
Can I ask you, why did you join us? The reason, not in an aggressive way. What are you doing here? Get out my pub. What I mean is that when you joined Over the Influence, you were 18 months into your sobriety. So did you cracked it by then? 18 months is a long time. People aim for the year usually to start off. Like, what? Why did you feel like you wanted to join a community when you've already got 18 months under your belt?
I don't think that you can assume that you're always going to be safe from it. I think you will always need reminding. And for me, I was already listening to your podcasts anyway. So I was already an OTI junkie. I listened to everything. And when you said you were going to start a community, I couldn't think of anything better than to join you guys. So, I've got support through the Alcohol Free Essex community anyway. I'm heavily involved in that and I love it and it's great. But, you know, this is another community and it's equally as amazing. I really like being involved. And for me, I think it's really important to give back. That's a real major thing when you've given up something like alcohol, because there are loads of people that need to hear about your journey. Because even though, you know, we've all got very similar strains of our journeys, they are all very different. For me, this is just great. I love it. I get up on a Saturday morning and have a chat with Shazza and it's just amazing.
And it's great. You know, we don't look as glam as you do now, let me tell you. At 7 on a Saturday morning. But it is brilliant. It is brilliant. And you are such a valued member. And as you said there, sorry, I've just jumped in completely. Sorry, I apologise. But Jenny, 18 months when you joined us, it is giving back, isn't it? And it is giving hope and encouragement and support. And as you said before we started recording, it's fun. It's about having a laugh as well. So, you know, giving up alcohol, it must be so awful. Actually, no. Yeah, it's tricky some days, but bloody hell, we have a laugh, don't we?
No, it's brilliant. And you just never know when it's going to come back and bite you on the bum. So it's really good to keep yourself in check.
That's the thing for me, Jenny. And I didn't realise it when I first decided to do this. I thought that it was, you know, something that you do and then you tick it off and you go, right, done that now. I didn't realise actually just... I'm not thinking about drinking all the time, but the moments it catches you out. Look, me and Jem love a bit of trash TV. Current watching is Married at First Sight Australia. If you've never seen it, it's fabulous. People get married at the altar. It's the first time they've seen each other. It's the drama in stews. It's fabulous. But like a couple were having an argument the other day, and it's Australia in the summer, in the pub having this row, and a pint gets put down and it's just like the one bit of water drips down the side of this icy. And I was like, oh, I could drink that. And it's like, it's not about constantly thinking about it, but it's that thing of you don't just do it and tick it off, do you? It's good to kind of listen to the podcasts. It's good to read the books. You know, it is good to not surround yourself completely in terms of, you know, don't suffocate yourself with alcohol-free content, but it's good to kind of have that awareness, isn't it? It isn't just something that you say, oh, job done.
When I first stopped drinking, I absolutely immersed myself in all the Quiklet. I couldn't get enough of it. I read absolutely loads of it. And then the podcasts are just amazing to listen to. It's really good support. And just connecting with some like-minded people where, you know, you are sharing the stories and you are supporting each other and you've got common, you've just got common experiences. But what I found with connecting with people is we all sort of just decided we wanted to do other things. We didn't want to go and sit down and have a meal with a load of drinkers, and we didn't really want to go and sit in a pub. We wanted to climb a mountain and wanted to do a nuclear mud race and, you know, all these amazing things, white water rafting. So it's just really great experiences with people that I now call my friends. So it's just fab. Love it.
I was going to say, Jenny, and I could feel a bit of a metaphor and maybe even a quote coming on. And I've been trying to work this out in my head and I can't quite, so bear with me. And I could just see Ben and Shaz with their head in their hands right now. But I'm going to go for it. Because, Jenny, you talked about whitewater rafting there. And I believe, stop laughing, Shaz.
Sorry.
I believe that sobriety is like a river. It's a very wet river raging along past us. And we can all go to the riverbank and we can fill up our sober buckets. And that's absolutely fine. So, you know, the Over the Influence gang, we go to the sobriety river and we fill up our little buckets. All next to us, there's Cassie and the alcohol-free Essex crew. You know, down a bit down the round the corner, there's Andy Ramage. Hi, Andy. He's going, all right, I'm filling up my bucket. And, you know, then up the road, there's Chazza waving at William Porter as he's filling up his bucket.
Yay.
This is a river that never runs dry. We could all be at the riverbank filling up our wonderful, bloody, lovely, sober buckets of life. It isn't like a puddle. It isn't like a little lake that's going to run out. We're all going to say, oh, we're going to have a bit of sobriety, but you can't have any because we haven't got enough to go around. We could all get a part of this. We could all fill our buckets till they're foaming over the lip. And I think it's absolutely possible for us all, Shaz, to stop laughing. This is a serious point.
I like
everyone
it.
Everyone can have a piece of this. This river will never run dry. Our buckets runneth over. And that's why the sober community is so wonderful. We're all at the riverbank, having a lovely time, getting wet and wild, and long may it continue.
Thanks for that.
Speechless.
You're welcome, Jenny. You're very welcome.
I've still got the tiger and the sheep going around my head at the moment.
Do you just want to let people know what you mean by that, Jenny, the tiger and the sheep?
Oh, I read Freddie's emails every week.
Yeah. Yeah, so Freddie produces a wonderful Over the Influence newsletter. These come out weekly. If you've not signed up, you need to do this. overtheinfluence.co.uk. Scroll down to the bottom and there's a little button thingy that says subscribe. They're bonkers, but brilliant. Yeah, just they leave us speechless. They leave us speechless. I know Ben messaged the group chat the other day, Jenny, and just went, fucking hell, Freddie. It's just so good.
Well, I have to do something with my time now. Now I'm not getting drunk every time. So those emails, they take me about 2.5 hours to write each one. I have to probably sit down and dip my quill and draft it out and then sit a laptop and tippy-tappy away. But I love writing it and it's amazing to... Yeah, it's like Over the Influence. Why do we have to be like everyone else and be like, hey, guys, sober's good this week as well. And then next week, hey, guys, guess what? It's still good to be sober. Let's talk about tigers and sheep and whatever else I usually talk about. Some really random shit, I know, but it's fun.
What was the 10-second glow job? That was one of my favourite ones.
The 10-second glow job. That was an interesting one as well. And
yeah, my heart stopped when that one came through to the inbox.
Yeah. Same.
Freddie, I just think it's great. You know, you're coming at this sort of sobriety thing from a different angle to all of the other groups, and I think it's great.
Well, we are happy to oblige, Jenny, and it's amazing that you're here and that you're part of it. And we love that we can share your story with the world.
Jenny, this chat has just gone so fast, and I think we could probably record for another 3 hours. You're brilliant. You're very alcohol-free. You're inspirational. You're a mum. You've changed it all, and you did this, you know, when you hit 50, and it's fantastic. So thank you for sharing so honestly with us on the podcast. You'll be inspiring so many people, women in particular, mums in particular, you know, that are sucked into that mummy wine o'clock culture. There is another way, and you are an absolutely glowing example of that. Before you go, I really want you to give a good old plug to this fabulous group that you are involved with, Alcohol Free Essex. It does what it says on the tin. It's alcohol free and it's in Essex. If people want to find out a bit more information about that, Jenny, can anybody get involved?
Yes, but primarily from Essex, because part of our group is all about connection and meeting. And we do meet quite often. We do lots of really fun things. You can find us on Facebook. If you search for Alcohol Free Essex, we've got a web page, lots of information on there too. We're climbing a mountain next year, so if you fancy coming to join us, we're going to climb Scarfell. It's just, I'm so proud of it, to be honest. It's growing, it's supportive, and it's just bloody amazing.
I'm going to take you up on that offer. Scarfell is literally a couple of hours up the road from me. England's highest peak, no less. I'll come with you. And if Fraser's over, we'll get him up there as well. And Ben, let's have an OTI mountain climb with the Essex crew.
That would be just wonderful.
Jenny, we look forward to seeing you up that mountain, hopefully very, very soon. It's been a wonderful chat. Thank you so much for sharing, and thank you for your time. And over the influence, it's been a ball. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you. Meet Steph.
Hi, I just wanted to say a big thank you to Shazza, Freddie and Ben from Over the Influence for all of the help and support that they've given me since I decided I needed a break from alcohol. I can say with absolute confidence that I wouldn't have made it this far without them, and I'm nearly at 10 months now, so maybe I will make the year after all, against all the odds. So yeah, big thank you guys, appreciate all of your support, and thanks for everything you've done. Cheers!
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk and be part of the Sober Rebellion.